Services, in conjunction with Who1.co.uk, presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Podcast over in Farnham. Or is it Farnborough? Later on we'll be having Ben, and here in Cloud Cuckoo Land, it's Alicia!
Hi!
Welcome back to the show.
Hi!
You like a new settee, it's really...
Yeah, got a new settee. It's very, very nice.
Very rude noises.
No, Dad, just don't.
No, Dad, just don't.
That's disgusting.
Well, it does.
No, Dad! How old are you?
Don't have to shout.
Yeah, but I'm like 13. I should be thinking about stuff like that.
No, well, you shouldn't tell me half the stuff you tell me, then, should you?
I don't tell you anything, to be honest.
So, what have you been doing then over the last week or so that you haven't been involved in this,
Right, Monday, dancing. Tuesday, Global Up and Parents' Evening. But we got stuck in that traffic jam, so we didn't get back to 9 o'clock. Wednesday, Global Up. Thursday, dancing. Friday, hair and homework. Saturday, out with friends. And today, I'm with you. So I've been busy, busy, busy.
Oh, well, there you go. Isabella, what have you been up to all week then?
I was flaying.
You're flaying?
Shh. Flaying. And then I was asleep, and then I was watching telly. And then I was watching telly a long time. And then we had the wash. And then I eat an older one, my Weetabix up.
As we returned.
Oh, no, no. What did you do on Friday?
When I was playing.
No.
You did this guy, didn't you?
Yeah. And then I was dancing with Clara.
Yeah.
And then I was dancing on my own.
Really?
Yep.
Well, there you go. Thank you as well. Right, we must mention our sponsors, who1.co.uk, Alicia. So what we're going to do is going to have a look at their website. Don't look at it enough, do we? Do you? I should say.
I'm so tired, and I don't know why, and it's like 2:15
Yes, it must be tiring just being you, because all the energy you expel for being disagreeable.
Don't, Isabella. No, naughty girl. Ow, don't you dare hit me. Ow, don't you dare. She's going to brush my hair. Oh, she literally brushed my hair.
That's what I was saying. All the energy that you expel just by being disagreeable.
Yeah. I've got loads of energy at school. I'm like, ah! When I get home, I'm like,
Right, let's see what new items. So what's coming soon on who1.co.uk? They've got the 8th Doctor 4.9 Lucy Miller, which is an audio play by Big Finish. In fact, written by friend of the show, Nicholas Briggs. That's going to be $10.99. The Ark, it's William Hartnell's story. It's coming out on DVD very, very soon. And we got Companion Chronicles 5.8, Perpetual Bond, another Big Finish production. There's quite a few Big Finishes.
Wow!
Soon. And Gemini Contagion.
Yeah,
looks like it's an audio book on Doctor Who.
Yep.
The 11th Doctor.
Oh, can I say something?
Macro Tales is coming out soon.
No one will listen to me.
As long as it's not inane.
No, it's not inane about a Doctor Who figure. Right. I saw this advert, for the new Doctor Who figures, And there's this monster, which I don't remember seeing at all.
Right.
It's like a metal skeleton thing. And it's like a Cyberman suit on it. It's really
don't you mean Chameleon?
What's that?
Chameleon in, The Planet of Fire was got done in, if I remember rightly.
No, I thought...
It was like a companion of the Doctor that could change its appearance. And that story, it became the Master. You must be thinking of Chameleon, I can't think of any other...
Not in the new series, Dad.
Oh, sorry.
It's like, I don't know what it is.
What's it look like?
It's like metal. It's like a bronzy metal. And it's like skeleton. Like, what the hell is that from?
That is a very good question, because I'm afraid I haven't got a clue what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, you need to look on the
talking
figures.
About what
I
we're talking about. Can you stop fidgeting?
She's getting my brush.
Just give her brush and let's get on, please.
brush for Christmas.
We've had some feedback.
Woo!
Have a listen to this.
Doctor Who and the Alicia of Doom. Yes, I thought. It wasn't the Daleks that got Alicia after all. Typical. This is a cyber plan. Come on, Jamie. Out we go. Ach, if you insist. But doesn't he look safe out there? Jamie, I know you're where they killed, but don't be such a girl's blouse about it, will you? You listen to that? That's just way too quiet out here. You can't even hear a TARDIS humming in the background. What? Ah, yes. Yes, there'll be some initial dampers, I think. I can't hear a single thing. Don't like this.
Be my friend on MSN or Facebook, please.
Jeez, would you look at that? What's wrong with that? Oh dear. Somebody has reprogrammed the Cybermen. No, I'm sorry, I don't want to be your friend.
You will become like us. On Facebook or MSN.
Oh, dear. I'm going to have to get to the bottom of this. Something seems to have gone drastically wrong. You don't think... Well, possibly, from what I understood from Adam that... No. Social networking. Oh, she's not going to reprogram the entire... cyber population. Oh, quite possibly, Jamie. Oh dear, this doesn't bear thinking about. Well, come on, Jamie, let's have a look. Jamie, can you see that? Cybermen shouldn't stand like that, they always stand tall and proud. Aye, as if it's sort of slouching. Oh no, what's going on here? Though I'm not complaining. At least I won't have to be like them. Jamie, please, now, come on, let's go. It's just like I thought. They're all like it. Oh, well, that did have some sort of positive reaction. So, Cybermen are... defeated, as such.
Shut up! Yes, shut up! You don't understand me. All I want to do is have a look at my friends on MSN or Facebook. Ooh, ooh, oh, what is that? That's so funny. Oh, what's the price of fish?
Oh, dear. We've got to get her out of here. Before she infects anything more here. Though I think the job is done, don't you?
Aye, I think so.
Look, she's over there, fast asleep. Yes, I see that, next to that... Ah, that explains everything.
What does?
Do you see that over there? It's a ring modulator. It allowed her to do an impression of a Dalek. Oh well. I suppose it's turned out for the best in the end. Jamie, if you could take her back to the TARDIS, then we will be on our way.
Ach, why do I have to do all the lumping and grumping? Ach, I suppose. Come on, then.
She's no particularly light, though, on her feet, if you know what I mean. Ach, well, off we go.
Thank you.
So what do you think of that then, Alicia? You think do you?
It's good.
It's quite an accurate rendition of a Cyberman version of you.
He's taken the, whatchamacallit out of me.
Yeah. And rightly so.
I do not say ha-ha, that's so funny, ha-ha-ha.
Well, I think if he's picked up the fact that you do say ha-ha, that's very funny, you must actually say it from
I don't.
I think you find it.
Name one time. Go on.
Sometimes they say that imitation is the best compliment. Not quite sure that's the case.
What?
In this particular instance.
What does that mean?
Never mind.
No. You know what you talked about this week?
What about this week?
Well, we did this week.
What? Yeah.
I forgot to tell you the most important aspect of my week.
Yeah, go on then.
Did you hear it?
Yeah, quickly.
I chose my options for my GCSE.
Which were?
Dance, drama and textiles, and art and design as backup.
Good. Moving on. More feedback we have from, well, this is what it says. It's from Rosie Sherpa. We actually have some feedback from a lady at last.
Woo!
It says, I am also much enjoying...
Girl power.
Adam, I am also much enjoying Tekerman James' feedback. I may be a bit partial, though. He's my husband. He is the one that's got me into Doctor Who, as well as this podcast. I'm proud to tell you that yours is the only podcast I listen to. I do enjoy the podcast when Ben is on. However, I like how random the podcast gets when you have Alicia on. I love when Isabella pops in from time to time. She is absolutely adorable. I hope this helps get Alicia freed from the Dalek announcer. Looking forward to the next podcast, Rosie Serpas, Orlando, Florida.
I love Orlando.
Thank you, Mrs. Tekerman.
Ism?
What do you mean, ism?
Is, Orlando, Florida is where Disneyland Paris is.
Yes.
Oui.
Hi, Adam. I got in touch with a pal of mine, and he... Can you be quiet? Can I get on, please?
Yeah.
Hi, Adam. I got in touch with a pal of mine, and if it is, as I suspect, the Cyberman at fault, then he should be able to help. All the best for now. I play audio feedback. That was from Graham Sheridan, and that's in relation to
the Cyberman thing.
The bit we just played. Harry Van Hoodness, my dear Adam, let them keep Alicia for a few more podcasts. Maybe that will teach her how grown-ups handle podcasts, and it will rub off on her.
It hasn't worked that well. See the podcast last week, I had a bit of it in the car, and then I got bored, and then I put my headphones in, and I put the music on full blast.
That just about says everything, doesn't it?
I was like, yeah.
So, right, then this point is, like last week, you were actually supposed to be on the show, weren't you? But, because we actually watched Doctor Who.
I know!
With a view to you talking about
it
on the
show. Oh my god, we watched
it. So can you remember what we watched?
Yes, we did.
What did we watch?
We watched a Davros story!
No, what's it called?
Doomsday.
No. Stolen Earth.
No! What does
it... Well, answer the question then.
Stolen Earth and Journey's End.
Hurrah. Right,
woo!
So, Stolen Earth.
It starts off...
Yeah, go on then.
When, from the episode before...
Yeah, well, Utopia, what? Yeah.
In Utopia, when they said... What did they say again? No, it wasn't Utopia. What are you going on about?
Yeah, so you're just making sure you're listening.
Yeah. So was it the episode before?
Turn on left.
Oh, yeah, it's when Donna says to the Doctor about something about Rose, they rush to the TARDIS, they end up back on Earth, and they just check if it's all right, and Doctor doesn't understand what's happened, and ask the date and stuff, and then they go back into the TARDIS, and once they're in the TARDIS... It shakes a bit, and then the Earth... Oh, the clock! Oh, no, wait for it.
That clock will one day get thrown across the room.
Yeah, and so your head one day as well, Adam, so just try it.
I lost my flow. Hold on. Yeah, TARDIS shakes a bit, and the Doctor goes and looks outside, and there's nothing there, and he goes, we haven't moved at all. The Earth must move, and then the Doctor can't understand it. He just can't understand it, so he has to go to the Shadow Proclamation with the big, huge rhinos. Rhino heads.
The Jadoon.
Yes, Jadoon with the... Yeah, I like the Jadoon.
Jadoon.
Jadoon. Yeah, it's a
shoddy. Yeah, so that's the story, is it? They don't go any further on that.
And then, after that, they discover all the plants. All the plants and he's stolen. Oh no, was there a bit in between that? Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. No. Don't make me lose my flow. And then I think Rose comes down with a No. Is it the Daleks? No.
You tell me.
I'm following the Doctor and Donna. I can't bother going enough a track. And yeah, and well, then they just go. No, shush!
Haven't missed anything out. Carry on.
Yeah, and then they find out all the plants have been stolen, and they're in a line or something like that. And there's something in the middle of it.
Is there?
Yeah.
What's in the middle of it?
The crucible.
Oh right, yeah.
And then the Doctor says. Then this woman comes up to Donna and says, I'm so sorry for your loss. And Donna goes, yeah, my planet's gone. She goes, the loss has yet to come. And after that, the Doctor goes, Donna, was there anything suspicious on Earth? And she goes, no, except the bee's going missing. And he goes, the bee's going missing! And then he finds out that, I like the bit when Donna goes, what, bees are aliens? He goes, no, some of them. And then they find out the track. And the Doctor follows the track to, and it ends, and then it goes on to, no, the track,
the
B track.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and that ends, and they're just outside the Medusa Cascade. Yay. And then, let's go back to the other story. Martha has used, the diets come, blah, blah, blah. Martha has used, what's it called? Project Indigo to get to her mother, because it packs into her brain and goes there, and the leader gave her the Oscar Hagen key. So she went to her mum, and then Jack was in Torchwood, and Rose couldn't do anything. She was at Donna's parents' house.
Arriving with a huge gun.
Yeah, with a huge gun.
And threatening some looters with it.
Yeah, because the Daleks come, us all flash, like, wow, oh my god, the world's gonna end. And there's these two looters go in the thing, and he goes, I like the bit, she goes, put the stuff down, now. And they all both look at her, and she goes, do you like my big gun? Yeah. And she runs up, and then they run off. And then they find the parents, and blah, blah, blah. And they go to the house. Who's the third person, Martha. Oh, yeah, Sarah Jane.
Yeah.
Yeah, and... yeah, incoming message, and they find out that the subway was
the Prime Minister.
Yeah, the Prime Minister, was it?
Yeah, Harriet Jones. No.
Harriet Jones.
Is it Harriet? Yeah. It can't be Jones, can it? It's Harriet Jones. Harriet, Prime Minister. Yeah, Prime Minister.
Yeah, the Prime Minister. She's opening the subway route, and they want to find the Doctor. So they go. Martha puts a number in. And they start calling and watching them call it, and Jack was like, oh, they will notice us, and he goes, yes, I'll sack myself with the Doctor. And then the Daleks find her, so she transfers to Torchwood, they keep trying, and then the Doctor finally finds it, and then they follow it.
Well, you mean Earth?
Yeah, they follow that to Earth, and then so does Rose. No, because, Martha gives the base code to Jack. Yeah, no, yeah, the code, base code of the TARDIS to Jack to follow the TARDIS. And give the base code to, and Rose was on it as well, so Rose found it as well, so she got transported, and Jack got transported where the TARDIS landed, which was your fun street.
My mate's high street, yeah.
Yeah, and then Donna was like, they came at the TARDIS, and Donna was like, look behind you, and Rose, and they had a little running scene, like, oh, and then the Dalek shoots the Doctor, and he kind of goes down, and then Jack suddenly turns up at that moment, and shoots the Dalek.
Brilliant.
And then, yeah.
Bit late, but
yeah,
brilliant.
And then the Rose was like, hi, I'm here, and Jack's like, we need to get him to the Jack's like, we need... excuse me, I'm in a story here, and okay. Jack's like, let's get to him to the TARDIS, and then they go to the TARDIS, and he goes, Jack's like, he's dying, you know what happens next, and he goes, and then Oh, yeah, the bit before that when Jack picks up the two guns. Don't worry about the Doctor. Help. Donna and Rose, like, dragging him to a TARDIS, and there's, like, Jack going with the two guns walking back. Yeah. And then gets in TARDIS, like, oh, he's dying, you know what's going to happen next? And Rose's like, you can't. He goes, I'm sorry. I'm regenerating. And then, wow.
Yes, the greatest cliffhanger of Doctor Who history.
Yeah. And then the next story is when he turns around and passes his regeneration energy into his hand. He loves the hand. Yeah. And then stops and he goes, Rose's like, it's still you. Yes. And they have a little hugging moment. And Donna's like to Jack, you can hug me if you want. And Jack lies and she goes, really? You can hug me? And then Martha a bit when she goes, oh, I have to do my job, I have to get to Osterhage, and she lands in Germany. And then there's like these German Daleks going, Osterhage, Exterminieren.
Yes.
And then there's like this German talk going, Ich habe Martha, ich Kaiser from Unit.
Mm-hmm.
And blah blah blah. And
that's that little bit of German that was by Alicia for you, Graham Sheridan. Carry on.
Woo! I know German. I actually do. Yeah, blah blah blah. We have a little talk, and then she goes. The German person strokes a gun at her, then she goes into Doctor Harkinki place. And then what happens after that? Oh yeah, then the Daleks find the TARDIS in the street and goes, we will transfer it to the Crucible. So they take the TARDIS and take it up to the Crucible. And then the Doctor, Rose and Jack come out the TARDIS. And then the door's shut on Donna as she's just about to get out. The leader of the Daleks, like, no, was it? The High Dalek was like...
The Emperor Dalek.
Yeah, this is not of our doing. It's time or technology. However, the TARDIS is still a weapon, and it will be destroyed when it goes down. And he and Doctor's like, bring her back. Where have you taken her? He goes, oh, you know, the TARDIS has a heart. So does the Crucible, and it's gonna be burned in there. So Rose, and so then Doctor has a bit of a.
Yeah, he does a lot of that, doesn't he?
Because the Daleks like, oh, put it up, and then he's like, shh.
Yeah, we have observed that goes, David Tennant does a lot of
feel it. Acting. Yeah, then he goes, feel it burn, and then Daleks like coughing up. Then she hears a hand going boom 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 in her head. She puts her hands out and it shakes a bit, and the hand goes poof. And out comes this Doctor.
Naked Doctor.
This naked Doctor. It's you. Oh, yes. You're naked. Oh, yes. And then the Daleks do a kind of go 5 feet to her. TARDIS is destroyed.
Your mum's just said, you don't see much.
No, but he's really thin, ain't he? And then...
you can still want to see it, don't you?
And then
Georgia Moffat has.
And then you go to... What was it? I've lost my train of thought now.
Yeah, the Doctor's just...
Yeah, and then...
Generated.
Yeah, and then... The Emperor dies like, how does it feel? Sad and angry. And he goes... Yes. And then... Jack says something and goes, feel this! And shoots him in the eye. He gets shot. But...
Yeah, deliberately.
One moment I missed. I was actually nearly cried at this bit.
What? No. You never cried.
Yeah,
anything.
But it was actually quite sad because he did his... he just opened his eyes. It was very disappointing.
Right, he's a dead hand.
Yeah, and Rose's like, oh my god, oh my god, he's dead. And Doc's like, leave him. And then he does a little cheeky wink. And then...
Before you carry on...
And then he goes, the Emperor Dalek's like, he's... We don't need him anymore. They're the stuff of Davros now. Send him to the basement. Yes.
Before you carry on.
Yes.
We're talking about Captain Jack and his regeneration thing, yeah? The new series of Torchwood is called Torchwood Miracle Day. And it's basically everybody in the whole world stops dying.
Yeah.
And the population just mounts. Because people are being born, but people stop dying. And we don't know whether Jack's going to... The opposite's going to happen to him. He's going to be the only mortal person on Earth, while the other way around. So carry on. Anyway. Yes.
Right, yeah, carry on. And then so they go meet Davros, and then Doctor asks, how did you get here? How did you come here? And blah blah blah. And was it Dalek Khan in it? No.
Dalek Khan
is like, I flew into the Time War and stole Davros, and He goes, the Time War might mash them up a bit, but he can see into the future. He isn't a prophecy. Or something like that. And then back on Earth, Sarah Jane just ran into loads of Daleks. She goes, I'm sorry! Then Mickey and Jackie turn up and shoot them. Bang! She goes, And he goes, Mickey, our students have to stick together. Hug. And then Jackie's like...
Didn't that happen at the end of episode one?
No, episode two.
Was it?
Yep.
Okay.
Episode two, and she's like, she goes, hold on, Jackie Tyler Rose has found out where the hell is my daughter? And then stuff like that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then...
Then
they get then the so it's like, the only way we can get to the Doctor if we go with the humans and go to the Crucible.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jackie puts down a gun and then Mickey has to kiss his gun goodbye. And then they go out to the Crucible and then Doctor's like, what have you been doing here? Why do you want it? And he goes, what's the time bomb? Is it time bomb?
What? Which one are you talking about?
You know when it's going to destroy the whole of humanity and it keeps going.
Yeah, I don't know if it's called time bomb, but there is something.
Oh, reality bomb.
That's the one reality bomb. Yeah, well,
reality bomb. And Devos explains that it's going to destroy the whole of humanity, so the Daleks are the only people left in the universe.
Mm.
And I think it was quite disgusting when it goes, all these Daleks are made with a little cell of me, and he opens it, and it's like, And yeah, so they come up, and. Sarah escapes, Mickey escapes, the door closes, and Jackie's still there, and reality bomb just about to be tested on the humans, and then they find out that the transporting thing has charged up, so they use that to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackie's saved, and they see the humans go, and die.
Yeah, that's quite good. And the well-used effect, it is quite effective.
Yeah, and Doctor's like, oh my god, oh, and then... Oh, yeah, then the scene with Donna and the new Doctor, he goes, you are bonkers. And then he goes, hey, what's your Earth girl?
Yes.
He goes, I sound like you.
Yeah.
Oh, spider.
Good. Well, they're very good together.
That was funny. I laughed at that.
Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, and then Jack turns up and he goes, I've travelled all the way, and here I find is Mickey Mouse. Hello, cheesecake. And then it cuts to Martha. He goes, we're going to use... and the stations, and he goes, there's one more last thing that the Doctor would do, and they go to she goes, calling all Daleks, if you don't, we've discovered, is it 17 planets? No, 27 planets. And Doctor's asked what the Austin Harding he does.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, it rips the core and destroys the Earth. And he goes, Martha, you can't do that. She goes, it's the only choice. And she goes, Daleks, what happens if you've got 27 planets? What happens if it comes 26? Well, Daleks, well, Fridge gets transported, and it's like, no! Yeah, to there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the time lock goes round her. And then Martha and Jack got transported as well, and blah, blah, blah. And then, just at the last moment, the TARDIS turns up, and the Doctor runs out with his thing.
Which one, though?
Second. Second Doctor.
Right,
second
the Doctor.
Human Doctor runs out. Runs out with the gun, and then Davros shoots him and puts the timey thing round him. And then Donna comes out and goes, I got it, I don't know how to use it, and gets thrown back. And then Davros has a mad moment, goes, sit off the reality bomb now! And then Donna does something, and she goes, and he's like, how do you know that? You don't even know how to change a plug. And then she goes, well, when Davros hit me, you've got a bit of Doctor in me, and blah blah blah. And he goes, and then there's a scene where they get released, and and then they spin the dial itself. She goes, and spin, and then they turn off the reality bomb and blah, 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 talk about why she's changed, and she got the best bit of the Doctor, she got her, his brain, and then after that, what happens after that?
Tell me.
And then the other Doctor's like, yeah, Dalek Khan says something, and she goes, yes, I have to, and then he sets the Crucible to self-destruct, and he goes, why do you do that? Fulfill the prophecy. So Raven into the TARDIS, one by one. And your dad is, and the doctor's like, to Davos, come with me. And he goes, no, you've done this, Doctor. I name you the Destroyer of Worlds. And then Dalek Khan goes, one will still die. And then he goes, right, off we go. And they transport all the planets back. Oh, no, they did that before, didn't they, with Donna?
They towed it back.
Yeah, they said... Planet.
Yeah,
and he goes,
right, yeah.
There's one planet left in the universe, and surprise. Yeah, it's Earth. Wow! And they have to transport it back, and he goes, we're going to transfer Earth back home.
Right.
And then it's like the whole music.
Right, yes.
Yeah, and the six of them were driving the planet back home, and they have a sort of celebration scene going, yay, we did it, yay! And then Donna Sarah Jane was hugging Jack, and Donna pushes her out the way just to hug him. That was funny.
Yes.
And then they go back to Earth. Go back to Earth. Jack gets off salutes, so does Martha, and she goes, and she's like, get rid of that awesome hog here, will do. And Jack's like, there's something better you can do, you know. And then Mickey goes, this planet's not for me anymore, there's nothing to do on parallel Earth, my nan's died, and there's nothing for me there anymore. So she goes, I'm going to live here, start a new life. So, and Martha and him get married. We find that out later, don't we? And then Rose takes takes Rose and Jackie home to Paola Earth, and then Rose's like, I won't be able to see you again, will I ever, blah blah blah, cry, and he goes, you can have him, he says, oh, do you recognise him, that was me when we first met, and then
you cured me,
but she cured me, so then she goes, there's one more thing I need to ask you. What did you say? You said Rose Tyler. What did you say after that? And he goes, tell me.
He whispered something in her ear.
Yeah. And then they snog. And then the Doctor and Donna walk off. And everyone's like,
All right. We don't need the sound effects as well.
And then they're back in the TARDIS. And then Donna's kind of having a malfunction. And he goes, I'm fine. And then the doctor's like, you know what's happening, don't you? And he goes, they can't. Yeah, she goes, yes. And she goes, I don't want to leave you. There's never been a human doctor before. And she goes, because there can't be. She goes,
Time Lord Doctor Metacrisis.
I don't want to go. She goes, listen.
I don't want to go. That's what the doctor said when he regenerated.
Yeah, I don't want to go. And she goes, yeah, I'm supposed to be with you forever. Dr. Donna, in the TARDIS. She goes, yes, that would have been great. Think all the good times. She goes, no. And takes all the memories away. Then they go back to Earth. Turns up at her house, and the doctor's like, help her. Take her to bed. Explains to Wilf and her mum about how she can never know about the doctor, and she wakes up and like turns back to herself. She goes, planets in the sky, kind of thing.
Yes,
right.
Yeah, blah blah blah.
Apparently, that's a snotty tissue, listeners.
At the end, the doctor says goodbye to him. I found it really emotional at the end.
You actually found something emotional.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Where the doctor goes, the wolf goes to him. He goes, you can never tell her. She goes, no. Every night, I'll look up to the stars and I'll think of you just for her. And it's like, aww. And he goes, thank you.
We have finally arrived at the end of the story?
No, walks off. And then at the end, he chucks his coat down. And then he has a look at the camera with his hair like, and he goes, just looks at it like, oh yes. And then it's like,
then,
yeah,
right. A brief outlining there of the Stolen Earth and Journey's End.
Do you think I liked it?
So it's basically after the very brief thing, you're going to give a long and drawn out view on the story.
Yeah.
What?
I like it. It's actually one of my favourite news stories. I love it. I love it. Love it.
I just hope we don't get really into trouble with the copyright. You've basically acted out the whole story. Yeah, go on.
Listen to this. I forgot about K-9. Sorry. K-9, right. when she goes, Mr. Smith asked him for the base code.
Yes.
The TARDIS base code. She goes, oh, that will take forever. And so James, no, it won't. K-9, out you come. And he comes out and goes, yes, master.
Okay, thank you.
And then, yeah.
Yes. So, broad and short of it is you liked that story.
Torchwood as well. I forgot about she completed the time lock. Because
the bullet stopped. Yeah, and they were poking the.
Yeah, she goes.
The time lock.
We thought she never finished it, but she did.
I think it's time for a.
It was full of fun. A lot of fans actually don't like that.
Why?
A lot of Doctor Who fans don't like that story.
Why not?
I like it myself.
I like it. It's really good.
It's got everything in it.
Comedy, emotional, love, happiness.
Yeah.
Sadness.
Indeedy.
Everything.
Indeedy. So, not much...
At the edge of your seat, like, thank God.
Not much in Doctor Who news this week, Alicia, I have to say.
But I must say, that was... You know when they're flying the TARDIS back to Earth? That was one of the greatest pieces of music I've ever heard.
The music's good, yes, I agree. The music is good.
That was amazing.
That bloke, that chap that was in Downton Abbey is going to be in...
Downton.
In Doctor Who. I think his name is Hugh Bonneville, him there.
What, the butler person? No, he's a lord.
No, he was in Downton Abbey.
Yeah, he was lord of Downton Abbey.
And he's going to be in Doctor Who. Sunmakers goes solo. The following announcement is of the delay of the... Well, there's a delay to the DVD release of Ambassadors of Death. Oh dear, I'm happy about that. I've been waiting for that one to come out.
Steph's cool. I got a Steph. It's white.
Oh, never mind. Right, I won't bother saying about that. So that's basically it for Doctor Who news. There's really not much there at all. As far as eBay goes... Oh, by the way, before that, we have had some people asking me what ever happened to Podcast of the Week. Well, the fact is, I've been trying to catch up with podcasts since Christmas, where I didn't listen to them because of the review. And I have decided that this, instead of Podcast of the Week for this month, we're going to do Podcast of the Month. And I've decided, because it's the most maddest and funniest and most entertaining podcast out there at the moment, the Pharos Project is Podcast of the Month.
Whee!
So there.
Oh, Dad.
Nutters. I don't listen to this show, so they won't know. That
one figure I would like you to get, which I actually would like to see.
A naked David Tennant.
No! Oh. Mum would like that figure. Yeah.
I like anything naked.
Well, as far as I haven't heard that, actually.
No, I would like...
You like anything naked? That has just gone around the world.
Yeah!
No, I meant...
Go and watch life drawings, then. Right. Can you get the Matt Smith one with the fez and the mop?
Yeah, I'd like to get that one. Sorry, Isabella?
The fez on it.
Off now.
Not yet. No, just let us finish. And then we'll get it off now.
We've
just got this link to do.
eBay, the highest thing again is the chest
We're not going to talk
pieces.
About it. It's not worth mentioning anymore. It's still there. But the one with bids against is Alicia.
What, the Doctor Who full-size? Is that one? Yeah. Doctor Who full-size Genesis Dalek with remote control voice.
Yes, that looks really superb. And how much is it?
£775, two bids and free postage. 6 hours and 35 minutes left.
Yeah, so somebody's interested in having that. So maybe these people actually got money this day and age to actually squander it on the
session.
I'm just working down the list. There's not much bids against surprise.
Is anything interesting?
No, there isn't. I haven't got time to look at stuff that isn't interesting. It's only interesting if it's got bids against it.
No, some things are uninteresting.
Nothing on that page at all.
No, it's a bit different.
Oh, it's a signed photo of Paul McGann. £150. He's still alive, for goodness sake.
He's not like he's dead. He's a rare doctor, ain't he? Because he's only done one thing. So it's kind of rare.
Right, moving on. It's still nothing. Down the page.
Oh, that's quite cool. Is quite cool.
Oh, I found something. Yes, a Davros mask. Here we go. This is number 2 in the bidded items. It's Patrick Troughton, Doctor Who original signed postcard. £149.
Oh.
It says, Best wishes, Stuart, Patrick Troughton.
Why would you want it unless your name's Stuart?
True, but then it's he's passed on, isn't he? That's what I'm saying, that signed picture. of Paul McGann, who's still with us.
Haven't you got his autograph?
Who?
Patrick Trout.
No.
No, I mean, John Pertwee.
Yeah, John Pertwee.
That's the one.
Did someone burp then? Do you mind?
Sorry.
I know I said about a Faust project.
Oh, that's quite cool.
What?
No. That is quite... It's the original prop.
What is?
That is the original prop.
Dr. Jekyll, life-size scarecrow, prop, Davros. That's, yeah, whatever. It doesn't say original prop, it just says prop. And the third and final item we're going to mention today, and the thing is, police box, TARDIS, Doctor Who, child size, play stroke storage.
Oh,
can I have one, Deb?
Yeah, we should get that for Isabella, she'll love it.
£122.
It's free postage.
And you pick up, I have to go and pick it up. She's not saying anything, so I'll take that as a no. So that rather concludes
eBay
for this week. And I think, Alicia, we've actually covered most of the items.
I know, because I was talking all the time. Usually your version of that story was, it did this, it did that, the end.
Nonsense, you come out. You don't even listen to what I'm saying. You're too busy doing this on the computer.
Yeah,
what?
Because I got friends and friends love me.
What did you say?
We should do a podcast with Ben. I haven't done one with Ben for ages.
Yeah, well, you're not here on Mondays when Ben is
available. Yeah, I'm sorry. I've got school and dancing and homework.
Could I just ask you a question? Did Graham Sheridan's cyber Alicia Dalek, did it slouch by any chance?
Hold on! You say I'm slouching, look at her!
She's only copying you.
Well, she ain't, don't lie.
So, I think it's time to move on to Ben's bit, and I'd like to thank Alicia for finally turning up to do a podcast.
Ben!
And finally actually talking about the subject matter in the show. Does that mean that you have to leave the show now and never be on it again? Because you actually achieved, for once, after 40 episodes, you finally got round to achieving the subject matter of the show.
Dad, you really head against the wall. Because next week, I don't know, I feel really smart. See, I can do math. I could. You asked me a math question, I could actually answer it right now.
This is not a maths podcast.
Ask me one.
Thank you.
Ask me one.
No.
Ask me one.
Can we get up now?
Could you two say goodbye? Because I want to move on to the next.
Bye.
Bye what?
What do you mean by what? I'm not buying it. Is there anything you say word buy? She thinks she's going to get some shopping. No, goodbye, I meant.
Goodbye.
No. Goodbye what?
The microphone's here. You're over there.
Shh.
Sorry, say that again, darling. Sorry.
Goodbye, Doctor Who podcast.
You mean...
The Doctor Who podcast don't listen to this show.
You mean the twit...
Goodbye, 20 megabytes or 2 pop cards.
No, that's so
Andrew,
cute.
Up.
Bye! They're going to miss me. They are.
Hey, what are you leaving then?
No, they're going to miss me because they've missed my voice.
And here we are, it's Ben.
Hello, Adam, how are you?
Not too bad this week, I must admit. It must mean I'm probably going to end up going down with something that normally happens when I feel quite well, I end up going down with something. And yourself?
Not that it makes a whole lot of difference in podcast land, but we are recording this a little bit earlier than we normally do.
Yeah.
So therefore, I am still in bed. Still quite tired, so, you know. Whereas Alicia's prone to sitting there texting and Facebooking and everything, if you don't hear from me for more than about 2.5 minutes, then you'd have to shout, because I may well have fallen back asleep again.
Okay. Well, we'll try and keep you awake with this highly riveting... look at Silver Nemesis.
I'm sure I shall be riveted.
Before we get on to Silver Nemesis, the Tekken Games, a bit of feedback. I'm just about to play, and we'll see what you make of this rather splendid piece of work.
Haha, look at that. It's about time to start recording a bit of audio feedback for Adam, Alicia, and Ben, though. New teeth, that's weird. I better take care of that before I start. Hey there, Mr. Man in the Mirror. What's a handsome devil like you doing here? What the? Was that a... No, couldn't be. I'm still in the bathroom. Oh my. I've somehow been sent back to the day, 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 back to the day.
Next time.
You just saved my life.
Exterminate!
Every second I stay here could have disastrous results for the space-time continuum.
Wait! Are you the doctor?
That can only mean one thing.
I'm going to die?
Ridiculous fanboys!
Wait. That sound!
Good luck, Tech Man James.
Stay with us here on BBC One as seven Dorothys get ready to dazzle on Over the Rainbow next.
So what did you think about them?
Ah, super. As usual, we haven't been let down once again.
I know, it's rather inspiring various people to do similar things, I must admit, which is good.
I did like the bit about the Graham Norton Dorothy show at the end of it over the credits.
Yeah, I did remark in the email I sent back to him that the accent was a bit dodgy.
Yeah, well, but hey, who are we to criticise?
No, well, look at Nicola O'Brien's efforts at doing American accents, so we'll...
I've got better things to look at on Nicola O'Brien than her.
It's certainly not the worst British accent I've ever heard, it's got to be said.
Well,
not going to go back on Dick Van Dyke again.
No, we won't go there. New Zealand person, yes. Sort of. We won't go there.
And Canine's made in Australia, so that's really, as I say, I'm never going to live that one down, even though none of the Australians or Antipodeans have actually mentioned the fact I got that one wrong.
Yes, well, we'll let that slide.
Mm. So then, did you see Silver Nemesis? Did you actually, put yourself through the pain, as some people would say, of watching Silver Nemesis prior to doing this?
I watched it last evening.
Good girl. I didn't say good girl.
Good girl. Well, just because I'm my top on at the moment, I'm a little bit wobbly up there. I haven't done a lot of exercise recently.
Wait, tell me about it. Blimey,
I only could bring that to attention of everybody in podcast land. But yes, I did watch it. About half past one last night, actually.
So, my notes. My notes say thus. Lady Painfort is a character I enjoyed at the time and still do. The Farris Project... we're trying to remember if any Doctor Who stories in history actually featured German Nazis, and of course this one does. Well,
yeah,
obviously not active war Nazis, but they're still Nazis.
No, it's not like they're walking around shouting Heil Hitler, is it?
No, but basically that's what they are. We see the comet Nemesis in space, and I thought the graphics on that were actually quite good.
Yeah, for the time, for 88, wasn't it?
I don't think they were CGI graphics. I think they were models. I may be wrong, but it certainly was pretty good. It certainly would have, if it was in the programme now, I don't think people would say, very good.
I think at the time it looked good. Now it looks passable.
Maybe. Well, passable. That's good enough.
It's not as bad as Blake 7's graphics are when you watch them again there.
No, that's true. I wonder when they're going to start bringing Blake 7 back, because they brought everything else back that was half-decent from the 70s and sci-fi was. I'm sure Blake 7 could be on the cards at some point, but I don't want to go down that road just yet.
Won't go down there. We're going down the wrong road.
Yes.
We need to go down the Doctor Who road, and we took the Blake 7 and sci-fi turn off on the motorway. We need to go over the roundabout, back down the slip road, and back onto the Doctor Who road.
We then see the actor Leslie French playing a 16th century astronomer. Or, as the Doctor calls him, scholar.
And a mathematician.
And he was originally one of the candidates to play the first Doctor.
Was he?
Apparently so. I think that might have been the reason why he got the part in this particular episode.
Anniversary one.
We meet Ace and the Doctor at the garden party listening to jazz, and Ace gets Courtney Pine's autograph on the cassette, and then...
That always stood out for me with this, remembering about this episode, was the fact that Courtney Pine was in it.
Oh, yes. He was an up-and-coming star at that time, wasn't he? But,
well, it's the old, as we talked about last week, or the week before, with all the companions, and Ace, they got her in to make her more, make this, the whole programme more hip and trendy for the kids.
Yeah.
And bringing Courtney Pine as well, you know.
Nowadays, they bring someone in like Kylie Minogue.
Maybe this episode...
Catherine Jenkins. Oh, no, I've already done that.
I think maybe musical youth would have fitted nicely in this episode.
Oh dear. looking at
that on the riverbank, passing the bathroom.
Yeah. But anyway, that scene, and they sort of leave the garden party and then get shot, shot at, but they act as if they've been shot, falling into the stream, and notice the doctor looks longer and thinner than he normally does, just as he's falling into the stream.
that bit stuck out as well, actually.
It did, didn't it? And he spits
you
out a big mouth of water.
The doctor!
Ace's dialogue, "I hope my tape's all right," was clearly dubbed over later, and it looked really crap.
Yeah.
Obviously they'd just been given that tape, and they probably watched it back in the rooms they watch these programs, like, oh my god, she's just been given the tape, and they'd just fall into a stream. What about the tape?
So overdub.
Yeah. Ace normally calls the doctor professor unless they are in danger, when she calls him doctor, which that sort of happened quite a lot in this episode, made me think that happens quite a lot during the whole time she's in it, actually. It's professor, and then they're in danger, and then it's doctor.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Lady Painfort, I do like her sidekick, Richard. I think he's a really good character, played really well, and they drink a potion to travel forward in time to 1988.
Hmm.
And you hear some rustling in the background, because Deb is currently putting her coat on, because she's going to be doing some work, aren't you, Deb? She's just turned up her lip at me. Yes. And there's a great scene, and they arrive in the same house, but it's now a tea room, so their transportation bit. It looks really good, because I think everything just stays the same, but becomes tables and... I quite enjoyed that effect, and also their sort of reaction as they're travelling through time after drinking the potion was quite good.
Yeah,
I thought that worked really, really well. Sorry about the grumbling in the background. The Doctor and Ace flit around in the TARDIS quite a lot in the story, and I always like stories in which the characters flit around in the TARDIS a lot. I quite like those. That happens in the Christmas special with Matt Smith. He's sort of flitting around backwards and forwards in time and all over the place, although we don't actually get to see interior shots of the TARDIS, I quite enjoy that aspect of it.
But you didn't see the whole interior of the TARDIS for the whole of the season, did they?
No, because it had fallen apart, and it wasn't in very good condition, so they hardly used it. Do you mind? It's like having Alicia around, isn't it?
No, that's your noise coming out. It's not like having Alicia around at all.
And earlier on in this episode I asked Alicia, what did she think of the Solar and Earth and Journey's End? And then we had, did we not, Deb? 20 minutes of non-stop words spewing forth from Alicia's mouth all about that story. She virtually told the whole story line for line, scene for scene, without notes.
I shall have to listen to the...
You will. For 20 minutes. It's
really
outstanding performance from Alicia.
Wow, that's certainly worth listening to.
But it might be the after effects of the
gave her.
Well, she has a lot of that anyway. The doodah machine we stuck her in the TARDIS. It might have been that. Might have actually
had an effect
on her. But positive effect. Amazing. The comet crashes, which I thought was pathetic. The actual bit where it's flying through the sky and hitting the ground, I thought, God, that's good, and then suddenly it's thud. And this tiny little cap explosion goes off.
A little puff of...
I thought if something impacts with the Earth at that velocity, there'd be a huge bang.
It's like...
Just drinking my tea. Yeah, so that sort of stood out a little bit. I thought they could have done that bit a little bit better, especially if it was an anniversary show. They might have had a little bit of a budget for it. Nowadays it was just CGI'd. Mind you, they were really always very keen on doing big bangers in Doctor Who, so I thought they really did miss an opportunity there. Now, Ace wears a fez while reading some old writing in about the Nemesis at, I don't know if it was Windsor Castle or what, but they were looking through some cupboard or something, weren't they? There was lots of old artifacts in there. She was wearing a fez. It was Windsor Castle, and then they flipped.
Well, it was meant to be Windsor Castle, but it actually wasn't.
Yeah, it was meant to be something to find. Deb is standing in the background making funny gestures as if we might be talking about boring things.
I don't know why anyone would think we're talking about boring stuff, but we're talking about Doctor Who scenery.
Unfortunately, she can't hear a word you're saying.
Really?
No, she doesn't want to hear you either. I'm offering her an earphone, but she's disappearing.
Maybe I could use that to my advantage. I don't.
I like the way the TARDIS materialises at 1988. Will you be quiet? Grief. Don't run over my foot with that bag either.
See, I have got rid of my wife for the recording of the podcast.
She's going now, so I've got more or less. But do not turn the fire off in the front room either as you go. I like the way the TARDIS materialises at... Will you be quiet? It's like having Alicia around, isn't it?
Well, it is.
Interruptions.
What I'd like to say at this point is I like the way the TARDIS materialises
at Windsor Castle as the tourists are walking the shop past the shot. And that they actually are in shot as it materialises. I thought it was quite good, apart from the fact they didn't notice the thing materialising, which I thought they must do, because it was... They were actually tourists looking around the castle. You thought they'd see a blue box sort of floating into view in the corner of a yard.
Wow. As something wasn't there, and then they turned around and it was there. It's kind of like... It was. But that's
Did you spot Nicholas Courtney amongst the crowd? And a few other Doctor Who names from the past?
No.
Bye, Dad.
I'll leave the door.
No, he was in there. He was wearing some sort of flat cap and a tweed jacket.
I'll leave the door, shall I? Because I
don't need. That's fine, Dad.
Yes. Okay, see you in a minute, bye.
Bye.
Not you.
Hi, Deb. Good to see you again, Deb. Thanks for popping by.
Take
care, ladies and gentlemen. That's Adam's wife, Deb.
Right.
She's now left the building.
I like the way the TARDIS material. Yeah, right. The Queen, she's...
done that a few times.
Now, I've written this in very heavy inverted commas. The Queen cheesily walked her corgis during an absurd scene that had nothing to do with the story. Ace pulls the Doctor out of shot by the neck using his umbrella handle.
It didn't look anything like the Queen.
So maybe it wasn't. Maybe it's just some woman walking
the
corgis.
It was meant to be the Queen.
It was meant to be, but it was so badly not... No, it didn't look anything... Mind you, but in those days, she looked a bit young with brown hair, etc., and probably a bit...
Also, thinner. You know, talk about people who look like people. Lady Pennefort's sidekick, Richard,
yeah.
He looks a little bit like Eddie Izzard.
I suppose he did, really.
Just a little bit like Eddie Izzard. You know when you get those really bad looky-likeys turn up at places?
Yeah.
Could have been an Eddie Izzard one. He looked that much like him, if you see what I mean.
Yes, I hadn't really thought of that, but now you've mentioned it, yes, he does.
I couldn't stop thinking about it. The whole episode, all three episodes, I was thinking, it looks a little bit like Eddie Izzard. But not a lot, but just a little bit. Anyway, I'll give you a
fair enough.
We've gone off
it's a very interesting digression. Isabella? Could you shut the door, please? Her mother is one of the worst. She moans about people leaving doors open with fires on in houses, and she's the one that wanders through opening all the doors and letting all the heat out all the room. You can't reach it. What are you on about? Get off the settee, and then you'll be there. Don't... You don't feel very well.
Oh, she. Poor little Isabella.
Then the Nazis arrive at the Nemesis crater, in inverted commas. Wasn't it?
Crater, yes.
It was sort of a dent, wasn't it?
I think a dent may be slightly over optimistic as well, actually.
Mole hole or something. Then the Doctor and Ace arrive to have a chat with De Flores. Ace's life is threatened, just as a big spaceship similar to the Dalek ship from Memories of the Daleks arrives. I thought it was very similar, in fact. Did you not think that?
It was probably designed by the same fella in the BBC props department, and he kind of like stuck an extra cut. Actually, it also reminded me a little bit. It looked as though they'd actually built up, you know, those in Empire Strikes Back when they're on the planet, the ice planet of Hoth, and they're flying around in between the AT-AT's legs in their snow speeder type things.
Mm.
It looked like they've built up one of them several levels. That's all it looked like to me.
Mm. But I'm going to say, remembering the scene in Remembrance of the Daleks, the ship looked really great when it landed. It was quite a spectacular prop. But this one initially didn't look too bad. And then later on, I'll talk about it later, that it landed and looked terrible. But I'll talk about that a bit more in a minute. Anyway, so obviously Ace goes, "They saved my life!
I love them!"
Yeah, and then the bit that follows is then the Sylvester McCoy announces with a Cybermen, with a stupid sneery sort of face.
He did.
Ridiculous.
He had quite a lot of that going on in this episode.
And it was so irritating,
and also the way he controlled every
some sort of impediment.
Every single one, whether he needed to or not.
Yes. Bit like Tom from the Doctor Who podcast. He doesn't roll every single R, but mind you, Tom with the Doctor Who podcast is much better at rolling his R's. They sort of sound a bit more natural when he does them than Sylvester. And that concluded episode one. What? Episode two begins with the guns shoot at the sidemen, and they sound like little cat guns.
Yeah.
Which was a bit bad. Yeah, thank you, Isabella. Don't need background sound effect. And no wonder they had no effect, it says in my notes.
Also because they're incredibly poor at shooting. Mm. As we saw a little bit later when they're trying to shoot Ace. how many times can you miss one person?
Indeed.
If you've been changed into a Cyberman, if you've had all your human emotions drained and some silver boiler suit put on, you'd have thought at least they'd give you 15 minutes training with a cyber gun. But no!
Yeah. I have to say, though, the Cybermen themselves look magnificent in their proper, shiny... No, they look proper... No, that's the best looking of the classic series Cybermen.
Yeah, absolutely. Classic Cybermen, that's how I remember a Cyberman until obviously...
But they were proper shiny, weren't they? Proper shiny, yeah. They look proper metal-y, shiny.
The helmet's scary.
Really good.
The only difference being for the Cyber Leader having black tape on the side of his helmet, you know? It was quite easy, therefore, to change leader. When the Cyber Leader died, all they needed was a roll of black tape. Job's away.
Lady Painful shoots Cybermen with gold-tipped arrows while Richard sits praying. I quite like that scene. She's going for their bow and arrow, and he's there with his, sort of kneeling down with his hands together praying for God knows what. I quite like that shot. And it glossed over the overuse of gold as a defence against the Cybermen.
We need gold. Gold against the Cybermen.
Just have to mention the word gold in the Cybermen.
I think you say gold near a Cyberman, he does that.
Lady Painful spots the Doctor, who she obviously knows, just has he and Ace duck into a conveniently placed TARDIS.
Never explained how she knew him.
No, not really. Although
well,
obviously
never explained.
Not
especially,
properly, no.
You know, in the end, in the final bit, which we'll get to shortly, obviously.
Yeah.
All the bits she says there, never explained. Very strange. Not great writing, I'm afraid.
No. But the TARDIS materialises with an arrow still stuck in its door, fired by a Lady Painport, who's obviously trying to get the Doctor for some reason. That's what I want.
And a better shot than the Cybermen.
Yeah. It was quite a nice touch, though, the fact that it materialised with it in the door, and they opened the door up and it sort of stuck in there, but I'm not sure whether it was plausible, because the TARDIS has a force field and it's not actually made of wood, it's a sort of chameleon circuit doodah thing, but it was part of the plot and it wasn't too bad. The Doctor makes a reference to Omega and Rassilon, just to please the fans.
Yes, 25th anniversary, must use history.
Yeah. And then this is the spaceship landing nearby was a bit naff. Now, apparently, what they did was, it was a helicopter. They filmed a helicopter landing so they could have the blowing of the trees, etc. And then they matted over the spaceship, and it didn't work very well. The lighting, etc. But there you go. Well, maybe I'm being a bit fussy.
A bit harsh, maybe.
You reckon?
1988, boy. They didn't have special effects in 1988.
Obviously
not. We had Doctor Who in 1988.
There follows a bit I do enjoy from the story, and it's the hard nut. It's the hard nut skinheads. They're so stereotypically tough. Really enjoyed watching them.
I love so hard.
They wrinkle up their noses and their lips would really. They were brilliant. And I know
the way they telepathically said, right, let's go get them.
Yeah, they were brilliant. Brilliant, stereotypical, funny characters. I really enjoyed them. And they got their comeuppance in a funny way with hanging upside down from the tree. That was really funny. I really enjoyed them. They were good. I usually get characters like they're really evil and they do nasty things. All they did was sort of act a bit tough. And it was just so brilliant. And also to see them get their comeuppance as well in the way you like hard nuts to get their comeuppance. Enjoyed them. Apparently they've played tough nuts in every bit of acting they've ever done, those lads, and those are usually skinhead tough nuts, so they obviously got a little bit of money out of their ability to act tough. The Doctor asked the two of them, left hanging up by their ankles from a tree, who did this to you? social workers, was the amusing reply. Lady Painfort shows Richard his own grave, and yeah, hers, where something is hidden.
Oh.
I wonder what it might be. The Cybermen are nearby. Kill them, instructs David Banks, the Cyber Leader, in an iconic fashion in his very last appearance as the Cyber Leader. It's just a bit of a shame. They haven't really brought him back for a cameo because, you know, he was really, his voice was brilliant as the Cyber Leader.
His voice was very good as the Cyber Leader, however, in episode 3, as you get to,
excellent Doctor.
one of the Cybermen in one of the final scenes, though, was the campest sounding Cyberman I have ever heard.
Was it? I didn't remember that.
It was like they had Graham Norton inside that Cyberman suit. He was so camp. Right. He almost had a little red chair he had to tip people back. Sorry, American listeners. You won't understand.
Oh, they know who Graham Norton is because he's the man who invaded Rose, isn't he? Remember the first broadcast of Rose?
Oh, yeah.
They know who Graham Norton is. And also his ident appeared on one of the more recent episodes as well.
Yeah, one of the episode 3, I think it was, of the first
done,
series.
Well done.
Recent series.
It's the fact that the Cybermen
killed them.
Just it works so well.
And then they use 59 barrels worth of bullets to try and miss again.
Yeah. And the Cyber Leader, apparently devoid of emotion, sounds angry when he sees all the dead Cybermen and orders,
destroy them,
before being persuaded to change his mind.
There was a couple of times, actually, in this episode, that the Cybermen's lack of emotions thing was totally forgotten about.
And also, he punches his hand with his fist, and that looks quite emotional to me. I don't know.
And there was another bit, you know, nearing the end again, where the emotion was coming out. It's like, hold on a minute.
Mm.
You know, they're almost rewriting the character for the story after you've had 25 years of Cybermen being supposedly emotionless.
That's right.
I'm ripping it apart today, aren't I? You've got me in a grumpy mood because I'm tired, so I'm ripping it apart.
Ace blows up the spaceship with some Nitro 9. And, there you go. That's all I can say about that. The Doctor then briefly tells Ace that the Cybermen were once human to comfort her after they had just killed some drones, which I mean drones as in people that have been, like, turned into semi-Cybermen. I think that's basically what they were. Then the Nazis meet up with the Cybermen, and De Flores tries to cringe and fawn to the Cyber Leader, and he tries to form an alliance. The Cyber Leader agrees to De Flores in terms in the event of success, and then of course they wander off. And that was Antoine Diffrings who plays De Flores. That was his final acting role, and he died a year after filming this.
He only came over to England to take that role because he lived in the south of France.
He was able to watch Wimbledon as well. Apparently that's why he took the role up, because it happened to coincide with Wimbledon that year.
That's what I just said.
Did you?
Yeah.
Sorry.
But I'll tell you what, there's nothing like getting a really good fact twice, just to make sure it's not it. Because we wouldn't want something like that.
I thought you said he came over from the south of France. I didn't hear the Wimbledon. Maybe I was talking over you at that time, I don't know.
I've got some other facts which I'll give you a bit later.
Okay, go on. Anyway, as the Nazis walk away, the Cyber Leader instructs his subordinates to destroy them. destroy the Nazis once they have acquired the arrow and bow.
Didn't see that coming.
No. My boss at one of the old places used to do that. He used to be on the phone, I'm all nice friendly, and he put the phone down and go, what, tosser or something like that, you know, just say something derogatory as soon as he put the phone down. So I don't know what that reminded me of. A clever bit of plot when the Doctor makes Ace realise that the Nemesis Comet's 25-year orbit always coincides with an evil event on Earth, like Kennedy's assassination, the First World War and the Second World War. I thought that was quite clever.
Yeah.
Worked really well.
The thing that I'm slightly worried about,
yes,
is coming back in 2 years, the Nemesis, apparently. If it's every 25 years.
At least we'll get past 2012 then, if that happens.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe something bad will kick off in 2013 and we can all just blame the Silver Nemesis. Now, the other thing about Silver Nemesis, obviously, the episode, that is the name of the episode.
Yeah.
You know, 25th anniversary of the Doctor, Silver is in there because of that. Nemesis, because of the whole character Silver Nemesis thing, but wasn't it funny that they also had the Cybermen in there, who are Silver and the Doctor's nemesis?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was really actually quite interesting. you seem to have just brushed that under the carpet. Like,
yes. At least you managed to spot their clever little hidden, naming
you'd
thing.
You spotted that as well? I thought that would have just been me who worked that one out.
Anyhow. But there was a comic that was called Living Nemesis, wasn't it? But yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Lady Painfort has found what they are looking for among her own corpse, which is, I don't know what it was. Was it actually her corpse, or was it just the statue in there?
I don't know. I think it was just the statue.
Because
wasn't it?
Richard makes a reference to her bones, and that made me think that the Blinovich limitation effect, which is getting quite a lot of mentions on various Doctor Who forums, etc., at the moment, because of the Kazaran meeting his younger self and hugging him in the Christmas special.
Surely if you meet yourself when part of you is, well, all of you is actually dead and bones.
It doesn't matter about it.
Surely that can't have an effect then. I mean, you know, there's limits, isn't there? And being
that's limitation of the limitation effect. Anyway, they are found by the Nazis, but Richard has thrown all of the ingredients, well, some of them at least, into the frying pan, so to speak. Which is, was it the arrow and the bow, or bow and the statue? I can't remember. Anyway, the Cybermen turn up and DeFlores gives his all power is mine speech before the Cybermen make him realise that they are a part of the ingredients shortage, I think is the bow, because I think the Doctor has the bow. I've just said that. Because the Doctor pilfered the bow earlier on in the story, didn't he? I can't remember where he pilfered it from. I think it was... No, I can't remember. Anyway, the cliffhanger is a lizard making the Doctor realise there was a hidden enemy above them. I think it was a lizard, or maybe it was supposed to be a chameleon, I don't know. The Doctor then announces the approach of the cyber warships in the same crap way he announced the arrival of the Cybermen at the end of episode 1.
Cyber warships!
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Sorry about that, idiots. Episode 3! Thank goodness it wasn't another one after that. Anyway, Ace admits...
I thought 3 was enough, actually.
Ace admits to the Doctor that she is really scared, and the Doctor advises her tenderly to go back to the TARDIS, but she refuses.
No, Doctor, no!
No, that's right. Meanwhile, DeFlores has been restrained by the Cybermen and is wearing a cyber headset, maybe listening to our podcast.
I thought that's what it was, actually. You know, you used to get those little radios that you just put straight onto your head.
That
were basically the size of 2 AA batteries on either side, because that's what it took to power them. I thought that's what they were meant to be wearing. Mm. I didn't realise the Cybermen were trying to, convert them by making them listen to Radio 2 or Classic FM.
Or even the Ferris Project. Sorry, that's my fourth reference to the Ferris Project. This, but as they got podcast of the month, I think I'm entitled to do so. excuse me. You'll have to listen to that podcast, by the way, Ben. It's you'll enjoy it.
Will I?
So, yes.
Consider it done, Adam.
Listen to the Ferris Project. Just listen to the latest one, because they're all similar, but they're just worth listening to. That's all I can say. They're worth listening to. Anyway, the Doctor and Ace arrive and throw the bow into the statue sarcophagus thing, whatever it is. They run, basically.
Doctor Who, and they have to occasionally.
No corridors, though. Atmospheric shot of the keep was quite good, because it was like, the sky went a bit funny and sort of strange, and I thought that was quite good. And they sort of had this noise as the Nemesis thing was coming back to life. That was quite good, I thought.
Graphically, when she came back to life, it looked a little bit 1980s, didn't it? But couldn't be helped, because it was the 1980s.
Correct. DeFlores escapes the Cybermen by throwing a handful of gold at it. He should have been carrying an EpiPen or something, or the Cyberman. If he's so allergic to gold, if they had an EpiPen, he could have stabbed himself in the leg and just carried on.
Exactly. Not a problem.
The Nemesis statue floats into the hangar, and the Doctor gives it the bow. Richard and Lady Painfort hitch a ride with the posh American lady, Dolores Gray.
Funny.
Yeah, it was. bit pointless.
I quite like that.
You like the scene, don't you? She was good. I can't quite see the relevance of having it in the program, but obviously.
Well, it's funny you say that because. Well, there wasn't any. It was just there as a little bit of padding filler, little bit of comedy in there, and then she starts going mental, saying, "I want a whole of time. It will be mine." Oh, right. But the bit about how the line about how she's researched her family tree, when actually she knows them. Because she's lived at the same time as them. It was quite funny. Did like the way they wrote that.
Hey, the clock's off. So that clock is becoming a fourth presenter on this show.
Which means, podcasters, we can count the chimes on the clock again. Two.
Oh, God, there's going to be 11 of the blooming things.
Five, six, seven.
Are we there yet?
9, 10. 11.
No. Right, the Nemesis statue has a chat with Ace. Then the Cybermen shoot at her as she climbs up some ladders to the upper gantry.
Again, appalling shooting from the Cybermen.
Anyway, Ace kills the Cybermen by catapulting gold into its chess unit, which is terrible.
Well, it was, as you say, kind of like one of those episodes where it's gold kills Cybermen. Yeah. Let's think of all the different ways we can somehow get some gold onto a Cyberman.
What they didn't do
was get a gold pen and actually write on a Cyberman in gold ink.
What are they thinking with it? Cybermen are obviously cyber creatures, and they will be upgrading themselves, as they have done since the 10th Planet, upgrading themselves quite regularly. And if they've got some problem with gold, you would have thought that somewhere along the line they'd install something that would counteract that, but there you go. That's my word for
gold.
Anyway, more cyber.
Silver gold. Platinum.
Maybe so. More cyber slayings follow while the Doctor tries to program the Nemesis to fly towards the and destroy the cyber fleet. Is that not genocide?
Because
I seem to remember in the end of the story that Alicia reviewed, the human Doctor destroys the whole of the Dalek fleet, and the Time Lord Doctor is totally mortified because he's committed genocide.
And also, if we go back to Tom Baker,
He won't destroy the Dalek embryos.
Can I destroy the race before it's, that thing? They're very consistent sometimes, are they?
Yes. Anyway. Ace then has a climactic scene with the cyber leader, whose actor vacates his costume like the
other
before plummeting to the ground by the TARDIS.
Yes. that was one of the best special effects I think I've ever seen on TARDIS.
I did think it was quite good, the fact that it landed next to the TARDIS in a great big candle. That looked good. The actual scene of it looked really great.
It reminded me of the Cybermen. Yeah, it's in the Cybermen where the cyber leader got. Why is it always the Cybermen who manage to slip out of their costumes in time to be thrown or dropped from a crane? It's the way the body went completely limp on the way down. and then it hit the ground, and I don't know if you noticed, but as it hit the ground, it kind of like bumped back up in a completely unnatural way.
Yeah. At least his head stayed on this time.
Yes, that's true. At least his head stayed on. But anyway, I love that bit. Very funny. Was it meant to be funny?
The Doctor instructs the Nemesis to destroy the whole cyber fleet. How nice of him. It's a good scene when the Doctor demands that the Cybermen let Ace go, etc. The Cybermen get sizzled. That was really good stuff. The sizzling of the Cybermen when they were...
Agreed.
Then, DeFlora's... Because there was one that was like half-melted, wasn't he? He was so sort of sizzled that he was like... sort of fused, the metal was fused, and I thought that worked really, really well.
Yeah.
I know what they were trying to achieve with it, anyway. Then the Flores smugly claims victory, and he is incorrect because the cyber leader actor got back into his costume and then shoots him dead.
Yeah. Yeah, quick, we've got enough time to get him back in.
Lady Painfort then claims ownership of the statue, and Lady Painfort claims she knows who the Doctor is. She then blackmails him and claims that he has lost. He gives the bow to the Cyberman. He tells Lady Painfort to tell his secrets, but the Cybermen are not interested.
That's because she doesn't know any. What does she know about the Doctor?
Exactly. But you don't find out. He tricks the Cybermen, and the Nemesis is launched as Lady Painfort jumps into the coffin. Now, is that some sort of paradox there? I don't know.
We'll let that one slide.
Yeah. How did you... Because obviously there's a grave, isn't there? Because they arrive and see Richard and Lady Painfort's grave, so it's a bit strange. I don't know, Tommy, why anything going on there. How did she end up getting buried alongside Richard as depicted early in the story, it says?
Mm-hmm.
You haven't answered that one, have you? The cyber leader watches as the cyber fleet is destroyed. Richard saves the Doctor by stabbing the cyber leader in the chest with an arrow that was stuck in the TARDIS door. So that's obviously where that was quite a good little...
That's where that came in then.
Yeah, that was quite good. And then right at the end of the story, Ace rather annoyingly says, "Doctor, who are you?"
Oh, that went there.
Cheesy, irritating scene.
Ooh, yeah, seriously. They were sitting right by the river there. The Doctor could have just pushed her in and watched her float off downstream.
Well, he was sat in a position where he could have done one of those backward punches.
Yeah,
that would have shut her up.
You could have heard the dirty den splash from when he fell into the canal in his engine.
Yeah. And he's leaning there with his hands on his bloody umbrella on his chin. He does that, puts his fingers to his lips, and there's a stupid little pointy mouth expression that's really irritating as well. But apparently, right, the writer Kevin Clark was trying to imply that the Doctor was God. And fortunately, JNT had the sense to veto all those bits he didn't put in, or most of them anyway. But,
that's ridiculous.
Well, that's what he was trying to do, and it's just... horrendous. Now, before we finish on this story, I will say it's not the worst Doctor Who story ever. There are bits of it I enjoyed, certain aspects. It's not one I could say I never ever want. It's not like Blooming the Web Planet. I say, oh God, I've got to watch that. I'm quite happy to watch it, you know, for what it is. For what it is, it's only 3 episodes. It's, you know, it's quite a good little jaunt, but mostly it's not very good.
As a 25th anniversary special. It's a massive letdown.
Yeah, well, if you think that Remembrance of the Daleks, I think, preceded this, that should have been the 25th anniversary special.
Well, no, the episode before this was Happiness Patrol.
Oh, was it? So maybe was it Remembrance afterwards?
I know, it's The Great Show in the Galaxy after this one.
But it was in... Remembrance was in that block, it was in that series.
Yes, yeah.
So that should have been... Because it was ideally set, it was set in 1963, had the Daleks in, had a good budget, it was well written, it was basically a very, very good story. That should have been the one. Why bother with this one?
Well, this was obviously, you know, written especially for the 25th anniversary, commemorating it, and therefore given the title Silver for 25th anniversary, and Nemesis... And then the thing about the thing returning every 25 years, and that was kind of the only thing that you could have a look at and think, oh, well, that's the special bit that they did for the anniversary. It had, you know, I didn't expect him to come out with a birthday cake or anything like that, but, you know, maybe if you're going to do something, you know, and kind of like say, this is the anniversary episode or storyline, then you have to make it a good one.
Yeah.
As you said. Now, whether you then start putting little bits in, like the title of Silver in it, you know, to try and create the anniversary special thing, well, that's then debatable. But, you know, as a story itself, it was all right. If they'd have gone to 4 episodes, I think I'd have probably got bored and fallen asleep, because it was all right. It wasn't, well, as I say, it wasn't one of the best, but it wasn't one of the worst.
No,
but,
you are right. It's okay.
Drag it out any longer.
But it is certainly a bit of... Sorry, Isabella. Isabella sort of was wandering around with a food in her mouth, trod on the dog.
Okay, fair enough. Right, better than actually walking around with the dog in her mouth.
It's a little jaunt, isn't it? I stick back. Yeah. Oh, you've got a snotty nose. Right.
Well, the dog.
Right, can you hear Ben?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
Are you feeling poorly?
Yeah.
Oh, what's wrong?
I just had a block on my nose.
Oh.
Yeah, she got snot streaming from her nose.
Oh, have you got a cold?
Yeah.
class.
Hence, she'd be at school today otherwise.
Oh, Ella. What are you watching on telly? Is it Doctor Who or Peppa Pig?
It's CITV.
Oh, CITV. Oh, that's your daddy's favourite.
No, it's not.
He likes humps.
Off you trotter then, and you've got yourself wrapped up in me earphone. Thank you, bye.
Bye, darling.
Oh, she's dropped a crisp. So, yeah, all in all, I'm glad I managed to get through it.
Yeah, so was I. it was interesting. I've got a couple of interesting facts about it.
Oh, go on, go on. Yes.
Actually, the second episode was the shortest episode by 17 seconds.
Right, thank you.
The third episode was the longest episode by 5 seconds.
Marvellous.
No, but seriously, apparently, I seem to remember, we talked about the Queen earlier being in it, or the Eddie Izzard lookalike. No, that was the other character, wasn't it? Yeah. The Queen lookalike. They actually wanted to get Prince Edward in it.
Oh, yes, I've heard this, yes.
They wanted to get Prince Edward.
Because he was interacting at the time, wasn't he?
Yes, he was, yeah, he did released his, release, no, he started his production company, and they wanted to get him to do that role, but he apparently, he didn't, his office politely declined the role, and that's why they got the Queen to do that little bit, but, you know.
Wasn't worth it at all.
No. It was one of those scenes that you put in thinking this will be great, and it was just not, quite frankly. What else was I going to tell you? It was shot, if I remember rightly, at Arundel Castle instead of Windsor Castle. I think
yes, you are correct, yeah, because I was watching it in the info text, yes.
They wouldn't let them do it at Windsor Castle. And it was also shot in 1987. So, a year before it went out, almost.
Yeah.
And there was still lots of damage from the big storm in 1987.
Yeah.
You could be seen, trees had still fallen around all around the Arundel Park.
Yeah.
And so that was something that gave away the timing of it. And also, the most important, the best bit of it, the gasworks, where the Doctor and Ace meet the Cybermen.
Yeah. Is now the O2?
That is now the O2.
Yay!
Yeah, so well, you steal my final fact from me, you fact.
I've got to get one in.
Yeah, I suppose so. We'll let you have that one.
Right.
But yeah, there you go. There's my facts on it.
Now, I will let you know now that before I move on to our final thing I've got to talk about, but before we wrap up, is that next week, the random episode generator has, after, you wouldn't believe this, when Alicia did it in the car, she pressed the button, and what did it come up with?
We did a drum roll.
Two of the Cybermen. No, it's not a drum roll. No, initially it came up with two of the Cybermen, so it pressed again, then it came up with... So basically it took three goes to get a story, one that actually related to a one we haven't watched, or a specific story, because one it actually landed in between two stories, which was one of the missing episodes. I thought, which one do we go for? You know, I'll press it again. So finally we come up with...
Yeah.
Revenge of the Cybermen.
Revenge of the Cybermen?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Tom Baker's first season, I think. That's Revenge, isn't it?
I think that's Revenge.
Last story of that season.
Oh, excellent. Okay, I like that
one. I have got on DVD, and I haven't actually watched the DVD version of it yet, because that's the first Doctor Who proper bought video I ever got, which was the first one ever came out.
Really?
So, there you go. That's what we will hopefully be talking about next week. Now, I've just got to nip out of the room and get something. One for a sec. A while back, my paycheck came along, the bank statement came along, and I happened to put down as my Facebook status is skint. Now, unfortunately, I accidentally put that down on my 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook status rather than my personal one. And I've got a few people saying, oh dear, what's the matter, blah, blah, blah. And a few people are rather concerned at my impact on the podcast, obviously, because the podcast... Shut up, magic! Because a podcast costs money to produce. That money at the moment is covered by our sponsors, whoone.co.uk.
We love it dearly.
But obviously, any money coming in helps to cover future doodahs and other podcasts. So use any surplus money they get in for this sort of thing to go to conventions, etc., etc. We can't do that.
Whereas you pay me, because I'm such a huge star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Jeffrey Berman, who is one of our listeners, sent me an email and said, well, if you want some help raising a bit of money, I can donate something that, you know, your listeners can buy to raise money for the show. I thought it was absolutely lovely of him. And he sent me, from the United States of America, 3 DVDs of his interviews he's done with certain people. I'm not going to do them all at once, but the first one, it says The Right Environment, which is his programme, and he interviews Tim Kring, who's a creator of Heroes and Crossing Jordan, and it's signed by Jeffrey and Tim, so that's one that's going to be available.
Excellent.
And then we've got a second one in which he interviews Marv Wolfman, Mark Wade and Jeff Johns, and again this DVD is signed by the people he's interviewed, and there's also a bonus feature where it says David Har, I can't read that, interview with exclusive sneak peek of something. Now I just want to see, oh yeah, so Marv Wolfman is best known for his runs of Tomb of Dracula, New Teen Titans and Crisis on the Infinite Earth, and has written for just about every superhero in the realm of comic books. Mark Wade is a co-creator of the acclaimed graphic novel Kingdom Come, and also has written hundreds of titles, including The Flash, Captain America, JLA, Spider-Man. And Jeff Johns has quickly become one of the most popular and prolific comic book writers in the industry, working on such titles as JSA, Green Lantern, The Flash and Superman. And David Hayter is the voice of Solid Snake in the popular Metal Gear Solid series, and the writer of X-Men, X2 and Watchmen. So Jeffrey has interviewed them, and finally, it was probably the piece de resistance, he has an interview with Sam Simon, who is a co-developer. Okay. Have you heard of him?
Yeah.
He's a co-developer of The Simpsons and a creator of George Carlio Show. Now, the good thing about this particular one is this chap, Sam Simon, has drawn a hand drawing of Bart Simpson on the cover of the DVD, and it says, "Yo, man!" And it's actually signed it himself, and of course this drawing of Bart is a genuine article drawing of Bart Simpson, so by one of the creators. It's rather a good little prize, that. But that'll probably be the last one that I offer up for sale. So yeah, Jeffrey suggested that I offer these up for sale for people, obviously, people want to pay for one of these. I don't know what to put them as, but if you send me an email and said you want one of these things, I'll say we'll offer up the first one, which is the Tim Kring interview.
Right.
He's the creator of Heroes and Crossing Jordan. A set amount of money. There's no point putting it on as an auction unless, of course, nobody writes in to say they want it. What do you say, $10 or something like that? Would you say that's a fair enough amount of money?
Converted
to sterling, obviously, if somebody from this country wants to buy it.
I think that's probably a fair start price.
Good. So if any listeners out there would like to have The Right Environment, hosted by Jeffrey Berman, an interview with Tim Kring, creator of Heroes and Crossing Jordan, it's a DVD, and $10. Obviously, if you email me, say you want it, we'll sort out the details regarding PayPal, etc.
That'll be rather splendid.
And in the forthcoming weeks, the other two will become available. So again, Jeffrey Berman, what a star. Thank you very much, Jeffrey, for doing that.
Yeah, nice one, Jeff. Really.
Yesterday or the day before, when I was looking at Doctor Who News, I couldn't actually find anything. Have you heard of any?
No, there's been a massive lack of Doctor Who News at the end of January. Literally all the sites I've looked at, there's been 3 stories that have been posted since about the middle of Jan.
Mm.
So they're obviously having a bit of a let's hold everything back.
Yeah, maybe so. I've heard there's been a few hints of things and spoilers, etc. I mean, I don't really go on this show as saying, oh, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, because for me a spoiler is when somebody tells you the plot or the storyline of a Doctor Who story.
And who dies and how.
Yeah, whether you're going to see a character in a story, it's not, for me, that much of a spoiler, and I've never been one for saying, ooh, beware, there might be spoilers in this episode, because we just talk about what we want to talk about. So I will say now that they have been pictures of Sontaran standing next to TARDISes in relation to the forthcoming series. And anything else like that, so
yeah, I mean, I think people need to calm down a little bit when it comes to that, because, you know, it, does it matter if you hear that River Song's in episode 1 and 2 this year?
No, not for me it doesn't matter. It's not telling the story, it makes it more mysterious. Oh, she's in it, oh, how's that come about, sort of thing, you know, so, that, doesn't really work. So, if anybody, nobody's ever complained the fact we might have inadvertently spoiled something for them, because we talk about old Doctor Who anyway, so anybody who hasn't watched them, and I think we pre-warn people what we're going to talk about, so they don't want to hear about something and they can just skip past or whatever. So, but it's never happened that anyone's actually said, oh, you've spoiled it for me.
I found some new Doctor Who news from
good. Go on,
January the 19th, which is as close as I can find anything.
Go on, we may have already mentioned it, but it's
you probably have. It's just who's going to be appearing, some guest stars in the new series. So you've probably done it anyway.
You can try, just in case.
We've got Charlie Baker, who's going to be in an episode as Fat Man,
right?
According to agent.
That's Isabel.
Dan Johnston, who was apparently in Sold, is going to be playing Thin Man. See what they've done there? Fat Man and Thin Man? That's very clear.
Right, yes.
I bet if they've got guns, they'll be rubbish at shooting anyway. he's done that. Who else have we got? And then a couple of kids who we've probably never heard of, but one of them might have been in Gulliver's Travels or something, or Emmerdale.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably about it. But that's it. I mean, there's absolutely nothing about it. It really is a case that... Yeah, they're just waiting for... Well, the new series will more than likely, I reckon, start in March, late March.
Oh, let's hope so. I can't wait.
So, if it's late March...
Well, what they'll do is they'll have the new series to start in late March. Of course, Torchwood comes in June, apparently, and then there'll be another series of Sarah Day's Adventures. So, Doctor Who fans that like the whole package, like myself, have got a good 6 or 7 months of Doctor Who, because obviously then Doctor Who will come back again after Sarah Jane Adventure. So, yeah, it's looking good this year.
I think you're pretty much right in what they'll do there. They'll schedule Torchwood and Sarah Jane Adventures in between the two Doctor Who series. Yeah. So it keeps everyone interested.
They've already filmed the first half of the next series of Sarah Jane Adventures anyway, so obviously they may be filming the second half of it now, and say they've got 10 episodes of Torchwood, apparently. So... Yeah, that's filling in what Sarah Jane lasts about 5 weeks, Torchwood's 10 weeks, so that's 15 weeks. So
which is about right in between that might be a bit long, actually, 15 weeks, because that's 4 months.
Yeah, that's what
I think. If Doctor Who starts in... If the new series starts in... I'm just trying to work out whether they're going to do it after Easter or not. I think
they normally do it right at the beginning of April.
Easter this year is again right at the beginning of April, so it may be they start it the second week into April, or maybe the second week into March or something like that, because if they're going to work out the schedule, this is really interesting, isn't it? If they're going to work out the schedule to try and fit in touch with
we've got to try and do some sort of predictions, and if we get it right we can say that's what I said, so if we get it wrong we can just pretend we never said it.
So I reckon it's going to be, I'm going to go for the 26th of March.
I'm going to go for a week afterwards.
The 2nd of April?
Yeah. All right, I'm going
to
go for that one.
Okay. All right, well, that's what I'm going for, 26th of March. I think that's what it'll be. And then they'll run it for 7 weeks. Then I'll have...
Yeah, this is another thing I've already said about the second half of the series. I think it would be, if they're going to do it that late in autumn, it would be nice if they... Because there's going to be 6 episodes in the second half, but why don't they just move a little bit further on and have the Christmas special as the 7th part of that series and have 2 completely even halves? You know what I mean? If they're going to do it in the autumn, it's only going to be about a month or so before the Christmas special comes out, if indeed they have one, but I'm sure they will.
That's how I think it will happen, because obviously seven episodes will take just under 2 months, won't it?
Yes.
So if they start then at the beginning of October, they'll run to the end of November. I don't think they'll... I think they'll probably check... Well, when do the clocks go back? It's late October, isn't it?
Yeah, last Sunday in October.
So that's too late to start doing them. So they'll start probably end of September, I'd guess. Or maybe when kids go back to school.
Maybe.
Beginning of September, run it September, October, and then you get 2 months to the Christmas special.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be fun finding out.
I can't wait.
Annoying, because I don't think that...
I appreciate it. I hope they, you know, next... If they do a Series 7, I think I'm sure they will, that they'll go back to the 13-episode format. Just have it, you know, in the autumn. You know, obviously, if we've had Doctor Who up... I know it's a long time away, but you know, we've had a lot in 2011. I'm quite willing to wait from December till... September or even August or wherever, you know, it is, for the 13-part story series, I should say.
Not.
You know.
No.
Okay,
fair. Because the reason it's on in March is because the Saturday nights are still dark.
Oh, okay. So you'd rather they had a two-part series?
No, I'd rather have it in one part. Oh, right. But they started
but in the autumn. In the spring, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Run it in the spring, and that way, you know...
We beg to differ. I have to move on. Feedback addresses. You can, and please do, as... you don't have to send in audio, which is really nice. We do love it because it's funny. But if you want to send in emails, and continue to do so, 20mb.feedback@gmail.com, which is 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Or the old email address is still up and running, which is the word 20, the word meg, the word feedback@hotmail.co.uk. There's the 20MB Doctor Who podcast.podbean.com, which is our website, which is the 20MB Doctor Who podcast, all one word, .podbean.com, which is basically you can stream or download the file from that if you don't have iTunes, etc. You can see us on Facebook, which is the 20MB Doctor Who podcast friend, or the group, which now has 87 members, Ben.
87?
Yes. It's rather splendid. Yeah, so the group, the 20MB Doctor Who podcast group, all these things can be found via a search on Facebook for the 20MB Doctor Who podcast. How many times am I going to say that?
Quite a lot.
Obviously, the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance lists every single Doctor Who podcast as it comes out. It's got an RSS feed, and it's a really brilliant resource for anybody like myself who listens to loads of Doctor Who podcasts, and that's at www.DoctorWhoPodcastAlliance.org. Of course, we're on iTunes. If you leave a comment on the feed on iTunes, that would be much appreciated, because it does bump us up the charts. And it's nice to be on page one rather than page two. And
yeah, page one's always better.
You can follow me on Twitter, which is twitter.com/Adam20MBPodcast. And that just about covers it. Twitter's great, by the way. It's a really good resource for podcasters. If you're not already on it, get on it. So there you go.
Yeah, and also, if you've got any comments or anything, just send an email. Email's always good. It's great to have feedback.
And I will let Tecum and James know that his jelly babies have been dispatched. Right then, so thank you for listening, everybody. And it's goodbye from me, Adam.
Goodbye. No, not Alicia. No,
she's gone. Long gone. Go on, Isabel. You go do your bit.
Goodbye.
Is that it?
I think that's probably good enough.
I brought you all the way over here. Just say
goodbye. It was a good goodbye, Isabella. I liked it. I hope you feel better soon.
She's nodding.
Yeah, nodding works really well on podcasts.
Yeah. As I used to really tell Alicia. Right. See you next week then. Bye.
Bye.
Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.